This message entitled Storm at Sea, Groaning Before Glory was delivered to Christ our Rock Bible Church on November 14th, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Acts 27, 13-26.
And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed by a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country.
Glory to God, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, dear God, that you have called us together in this place to join with these 276 souls, to not come to harm, to come to salvation, to come to a rescuing of the souls, a rescuing of the heart. And I pray, dear God, that by the power, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, you will indeed make it clear that that's what you're all about. That's what you're all about. Oh, the ship didn't do too well, but the people did. Hallelujah. That's really what you care about, are the people. And I pray, dear God, that you'll have your way as they and us consider what it is. What it is to truly make the way, to truly get from one point to the other, your way, which brought everybody to salvation. Everybody, not one person was lost. So I want to thank you for that. Lord, I guess we need to see, Lord, that this is a big deal. This is a big deal. I mean, when the Titanic went down and nobody thought they could even, and anybody could even sink the Titanic. In fact, some people said that even God couldn't sink the Titanic. Many people died in that ordeal, but some were saved. So I pray, dear God, that we would just see Jesus today, hallelujah, and see how much he loves us, how much he leads us into an everlasting life. Glory be to God. We thank you. We praise you. To your name, dear God, be all the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, there can be plenty of groaning, but the groaning comes before the glory. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A pastor from, I think he might be from Tennessee, I'm not sure, but he's down from southern areas. And he asked the question, do you groan a lot? And that's a personal question. You know, you have to answer that. Do you groan a lot? Is everything a gripe to you? Or maybe not everything, but a lot of things. Do you groan a lot? And he admits himself that, you know, that he does, or that he has, especially when he gets sick. He tells this story on himself. A few years back, we took our schnauzer, Sonny, to get his ears clipped. Now, I never personally saw the need in that. Never thought that made really a whole lot of sense. So Dietrich had floppy ears that went up and down, and we didn't do this to him. Well, it turns out that they did have his ears clipped, and the vet taped them upright and gave him medicine. But Sonny was in bad shape. That same day, I came home with the flu. Imagine. I wasn't feeling so great myself, as it turned out. As I lay in bed, sick at my stomach, feverish, groaning, I heard Jo Beth, my wife, talking sweetly to Sonny. "Oh, you're a sweet boy," she said. Jo Beth had put a little bell by my bed in case I needed something, so I began to ring it. His nickname for his wife was Joby, because it was Jo Beth. Okay, so Joby. She said, "Joby, I need aspirin." You know, wheezing, of course. Can you bring it? Oh, by the way, a lot worse than he really was. Because they say that's true. That's the way guys are. They're sicker than they really are. I don't know about that. When I get sick, I kind of know it. And I just kind of prefer to be alone. Anyway, so he, you know, "Can you bring it? Then, Joby, I need some water too. I'm thirsty." You know, complaint after complaint, groaning. For 2 days straight, as Jo Beth nursed Sonny back to health, I rang my bell. The next day, some friends came over to check on Sonny. Not him, Sonny. My fever was up. Well, I wouldn't want to visit him either. You know, he's sicker than a dog. He is sicker than the dog. Okay. My fever was up. I was having chills, and the whole neighborhood was worried about Sonny's ears. So I decided to give him a run for his money. I took some tissues from the nightstand and carefully wrapped my ears in them, ringing my bell for all it was worth. When Jo Beth came in, I told her that I thought my ears were beginning to hurt too, besides everything else I got going on. And she shook her head and laughed a little as she said, "Oh, Edwin." In this life, we do have a tendency to groan. Things are not as they should be, not as they will be, but Paul said he considered the sufferings of this present world not worthy to compare to the glory that is to be revealed. Now, did you get the order of what Paul said? Groaning before glory. Groaning before glory. But glory is a promise from God himself. So you don't just leave that in the dust and spend your whole life groaning about things. You know, but if the groaning's going to be there, do it first. You know, I mean, if it has to be, and I don't know that it has to be, but, you know, then there's the glory. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, hallelujah. The story, of course, is about Paul gets on a ship. It's a prison ship, basically. It's taking him to Rome. He's going to be jailed, and he's going to appeal to Caesar. It was obvious there would be trouble. I mean, there was just no doubt about it. You know, going into it, there's going to be a problem. I wonder how much groaning went on aboard the ship. I mean, we're not there, and we can't hear it in retrospect, but the way people are, just in general, and this big storm hits, and it's going to turn the ship upside down and so forth, I wonder how much groaning went on before God finally showed the answer. Praise God. All right, take a look. Let's start at the beginning, okay? Good place. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, so they got smooth sailing for now, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, in other words, we're going to get where we're going, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. Basically, the only definition I can find for it is it's like a hurricane, okay? And when the ship was caught in these winds and these waves and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, okay? Now, that's away from shore. We let her be taken away by the winds, away from shore, okay? The ship was caught in this. It was seized. It was grabbed. These are all definitions that go along with the word caught, okay? Great violence, like a mob or like a group of demons. It's like that. It's just hard. And running under a certain island, that means to the south of an island. They didn't go under an island, you know. Some people think islands float and you can go under it, you know. Anyway, no, it means going south of that island. Okay, running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. It was really a struggle, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. Sometimes these were chains, sometimes they were ropes, but they would let, it would probably be easier to do it with the ropes. You put the rope down in the water, and then because of the current, the rope would be carried under the boat. Then they'd reach down, snag the rope, and then tie it off good and tight, and that would help the boat to stay together. I don't think that would work real well with chains, but, you know, maybe somebody had to dive down and get the chain. I don't know. So there was this undergirding, okay? And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail. That is, they put the sails down, they voided the sails, literally what this strake is referring to, and let her go. Okay? And so we were driven. And by the way, it's the African coasts are known for the quicksands that are there by the shore. Anyway, the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now, this is an indication that Luke is with them at this point. I told you before, when they crossed over into Macedonia, then all of a sudden, it's we. We did this and we did that, and it's Luke writing the book. So Luke is with them for all of that after they came into Macedonia. In fact, I believe, and I, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that that's the vision that they had, that Paul had. He saw a Macedonian man, you know, in a vision. And this is believed to be Luke, okay? So Luke is still with them. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. We got to get rid of some of the weight. Praise God. All right? And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, in other words, it was a big storm, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So we're not going to make it. This is, you know, so depression starts to set in. The groaning starts setting in. The being bugged about the whole thing seems to start setting in. I think there was indeed a fair amount of groaning. Story is told, evidently a true story, about a man who is peering out from the pages of the U.S. News and World Report, He was only 21 years old, but he looked worn out and he looked all used up. He was dressed entirely in black and wore a small button on his jacket that read, "I am a mess. I am a mess." Anyone who knew John Simon Ritchie would concur with that statement, that he was a leader of a punk rock band and his life was ruled by his sins. Drugs, alcohol, wanton sex, violence. He murdered the woman he lived with, served time in prison, was then released, and then killed a man in a drunken barroom brawl. This guy's a mess. Okay? Shortly after being released from prison, a second time he overdosed on heroin. And no one was surprised when Ritchie, known by millions as rocker Sid Vicious, was dead before his 22nd birthday. Sid Vicious' life illustrates the natural end of the depraved heart. He was a mess, always groaning, always complaining. He was a mess because his heart was a mess. And if you're a Christian, your heart used to be a mess. Amen? And the same with me. That's the doctrine of the depravity of man. Sid Vicious said, "I am a mess," had a button on his chest to prove it. The Apostle Paul said, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." The language is different, but the concept is still the same. Your depravity and my depravity is never going to get any better on its own. We might be able to mask it, the manifestations of our sick hearts, but we cannot improve their condition. Now, left unchecked, depravity gives way to permissiveness. Permissiveness degenerates into immorality. Immorality eventually leads to guilt, which when rationalized leads to rebellion. And that's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. But there is a better way, praise God. There is a better way, a way that leads to life. It's called surrender. The only cure for a depraved heart is to receive a new one through the blood of Jesus Christ. In him, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free, praise God, from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. When depravity is allowed to fester, when it is allowed to grow, the storms of life become more and more obvious. It doesn't seem to make sense to even try to see the glory when you get to that point, for the blackness of the perpetual groaning is really all you can see. Story is told of an old song that asked the musical question, "Have I stayed too long at the fair?" The idea is that life is losing its luster, perhaps because we've overstayed our welcome, or expected things it failed to deliver can also be an issue. It is the song of someone older who is looking back at his youth with disappointment. "I wanted to live in a carnival city," he thinks, his laughter and love would be everywhere, but it doesn't work out. It doesn't come together. "I wanted my friends to be charming and witty. I wanted someone to care. I found my blue ribbons all shiny and new, but now I've discovered them no longer blue. The merry-go-round is beginning to taunt me. Have I stayed too long at the fair? There's nothing to win and no one to want me. Have I stayed too long at the fair?" If we buy into this world's system of priorities, this world's way of thinking, okay, eventually everything we've chased is going to disappoint us because it's all bad. It's all bad. There's no Jesus in it at all. Unless we are living for God in Christ, we will reach old age and finally say, it's all meaningless. I've stayed too long at the fair. This is a very similar thing that happened to Solomon. Someone once called him, kind of changed his name a little bit. Instead of Solomon, it was Solo Man. Solo Man. He was all wrapped up in himself. At the end of his life, he cut to the chase and he said, I've had it all, and I've done, and none of it has really amounted to anything. He pursued love, riches, knowledge, religion, power. He attained a measure of success in all of them, but none truly satisfied him. Far too many of us, I think, could say with Solomon, I've stayed too long at the fair. And even this thought brings up a remembrance of Pilgrim's Progress, you know, and Vanity Fair, and all of the, you know, worldly, selfish junk that was going on there. I've stayed too long at the fair. Maybe you've bought into the world system, or maybe at one time you did, and you came away from it. That could be very good. And all of you have to show for your efforts today, if you're caught in that, is depression, despondency, broken relationships, broken dreams. But for the man or woman who has spent a lifetime pursuing Jesus Christ, every day is sweeter than the day before. This pastor had once served a church down in Texas, and he had a woman in his church. Her name was Jane Elder. That elderly woman pursued Jesus for 90 years and never sang one verse of I've Stayed Too Long at the Fair. In fact, Jane's favorite song was The Longer I Serve Him, the Sweeter He Grows. And then the question then becomes ours. What about you? What about me? Which song would you rather sing in the twilight of life? The longer I serve him, or I've stayed too long at the fair? This is pictured, I think, in Paul having a God-given vision. Let's take a look at this. Let's begin with verse 21. This is the same chapter, 27, verse 21. But, praise God for the contrast of conjunctions. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of the ship and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. To put it in modern terms, he's basically saying, you should have listened. You know, you should have done what I said, and you didn't, and look at the mess, and not have loosed from Crete. You shouldn't have left Crete. You should have stayed all hunkered down, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Listen, if anybody can proclaim good cheer on any heart, it's Paul. Because who showed up in the middle of the night to offer him good cheer? Jesus. Remember last week? Jesus did. Good cheer, Paul. Praise God. If anybody could do it, it would be Paul. And here it is. So we got this problem and that problem, and the ship's about to go down and so forth and so on. You should have hearkened to me. You shouldn't have loosed from Crete. Okay, now you're going to have this harm. You're going to have this loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Verse 22. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. In other words, the ship's going down. I think it's in verse 37, later in this chapter. Let's look at that for a second. Yeah. And we were in all the ship, 200, 3 score, and 16 souls. 276 souls, and every one of them is accounted for. When they get on that island, they're all there. Everyone. And what did the soldiers say about it? We need to kill all the prisoners because they're going to escape. They're going to take this opportunity to escape, and they didn't. Praise God, they stuck with it. Hallelujah. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." You stick with the truth and you're going to be pretty sticky. Amen? And you'll be able to stick together. Praise God. It's a terrible storm they're going through. The word gyro actually refers to an east wind. And if you know anything about your meteorology, you'll know that most weather, most storms come from the west. And it comes from the east, you got troubles. That means it looped completely around and now it's heading back. And we've had lots of storms that way. I can tell when it's going to be an easterly or, you know, flow, so to speak. You hear it on certain windows in your house, which normally don't even get wet through a rain. But if it's an eastern flow, then some other windows get wet and you can hear them, even in the middle of the night. You probably noticed that yourself. Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as he was told, even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Hallelujah. Paul had been given that vision that everybody's going to make it. And praise God, they all did. Hallelujah. We must make it to the island. Yes, I believe God, and he said so. It's a done deal. Everyone, all 276, no harm to anybody. They all grabbed a board or started swimming, and they all got ashore, and everybody didn't even try to escape. 276 will make it. That's the fullness of people, as it turns out in this case, 276. God said so. Amen? No matter the storm, all the groaning must be done before the glory. So if there's going to be any, you know, groaning, get it over with. Or don't even do it. Amen? And then comes the glory. Praise God. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. A.W. Tozer, and I'll close with this. A.W. Tozer once wrote this. He said, "The healthy soul, like the healthy bloodstream, has its proper proportion in white and red cells. The red carry the true faith, and the white cells are like disbelief. They pounce upon the dead and toxic matter and carry it out to the drain. Along with our faith in God, we must go. There must go a healthy disbelief that in everything occult, everything esoteric, numerology, astrology, spiritism, and everything else that passes nowadays for religion must be rejected. These have no part in the life of the true Christian." It's kind of like I said a week or two ago, you know, yes, it's important to say, yes, I believe this positive thing and I believe that positive thing. But you know what? There are also some other things that are negative that God tells us to stay away from that we need to say, yes, we believe God when he says that. This does not fit in the Christian life. Okay? Praise God. Have no part in the life of the true Christian. Glory be to God. Lord, I want to thank you here today that you have presented us, dear God, with a vision, with a view of people making it, people coming through the storm. There may be some groaning in the early times of it, but then that groaning needs to stop. And instead, it's all about belief. But we not only need to believe the good and the true things, but we need to believe that we need to stay away from the things that are against your purposes. It's a two-way street, really. And I thank you. I thank you that it is. We don't have to just be focused on the one. We need both. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will indeed direct us and lead us in the ways of everlasting life. You, dear God, are Lord. Hallelujah. You are Lord. And I thank you for the call to believe who you are, but also to know in the depths of our hearts that you are not what you say you are not. And I thank you for that too, because that's just as true, just as needed. And so we praise you. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. We've got to take a look back at our lives, Lord, and just wonder, have we stayed too long at the fair? Has it all just been fun and games? And I pray, dear God, that we would know that was never your intention. This is a horrific storm that Paul and his people go through. But they know that they have the promise that everybody makes it. Now we know, Lord, that a lot of people are going to turn their backs on true Christianity. We know that. We don't want that, so we pray against it. And we pray that people will indeed give their hearts and lives over to your presence. And help us, dear God, help us to present Jesus in a true way. The positive things to be received, the negative things to be avoided. And I pray, dear God, that we will know that that's been your heart's cry all along, all along. We could go through the whole Bible, Old Testament and New, and we could see that. And I pray, dear God, that we will indeed come away from that fair. We don't want to stay any longer. We need Jesus. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Praise God.